The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Yeah, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down! You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Palillo, at Juggalo underscore Trey 23. That's two at 502. Averaged about 1 an hour. That's a little below your average. You can get us on the text line at 713-780-3776. And if you want to watch us on the Twitch channel, we're on there. I don't know why you would, but Charlie Palillo right in the middle of the three of us here as we roll through hour number two. And a lot of sports and a lot of getting to know Charlie in the first hour. I feel like I already know you better.
You don't.
Oh, okay.
No, he's holding back.
Well, the baseline is zero.
Well, I mean, if we're at a 0.5, that's still an improvement.
I'm curious you guys' thoughts on the Egg Bowl finish last night. As someone who had Mississippi State minus 2.5, I was frustrated that they gave Ole Miss, like, basically 50 shots at the end zone there when, the game should have been over 5 plays ago.
And then the Ole Miss clown cost you a chance to win it anyway in overtime.
I mean, that kid's got to be, and it's great for the kicker, like, because the kicker in that situation would normally be the one taking the heat. I think he's kind of getting off scot-free on this thing, because this dude basically cost his team 15 yards and cost his team at least a shot at winning that game, their biggest game. Those teams they're not going anywhere. That's their biggest game of the year.
The same lame, uncreative, penalty-causing celebration, the fire hydrant dog thing that DJ Metcalf did a couple of years ago. I almost won that game big, though, so I guess it didn't cost him. So I don't want to say punk move. I'll just say stupid move. But as a result, the Aggies wind up this season with one win over a bowl-eligible team.
Well, that's pretty good.
And Ole Miss won that game. The Aggies would have had the most worthless 7-win season in the country, unless I'm shorting them and you think they're taking down LSU tomorrow night.
Yeah, but let's not sell them short yet. They haven't lost to LSU yet.
Are you calling your shot here, Fred?
No, I'm not calling my shot here.
Worst return on investment at this point in their tenure, Tom Herman or Jimbo Fisher?
Jimbo Fisher. So to date, I'm not saying that Jimbo Fisher can't end up being better than Tom Herman, but, Tom Herman, they won a Sugar Bowl under Tom Herman. And, that's... This year's obviously a massive disappointment, and they should really have some concerns. But because he had a season like that, I think it at least bought him some equity. You know, Jimbo Fisher so far has not proven. I mean, he got a win over LSU in, like, 72-70 or whatever the hell it was. That's basically the one positive checkbox that he's got. Other than that, it's been pretty much a disaster.
I mean, the Aggies have beaten nobody. Now, their losses are all to good teams.
Right.
Right.
But it's like we were talking some in the last hour.
They're the ultimate line.
Are you judging from the bottom up? Hey, we're not horrible. And when you're $75 million guaranteed to Fisher and resources and Rabbit alumni base and all that, and you can't beat a good team, right? The breakthrough signature win of Fisher's first season 12 months ago, 7 overtimes over LSU. And a year later, where's Texas A&M and where's LSU?
Right. We talked about this earlier. A&M they are the line of mediocrity in the SEC. If A&M beats you, you're below average. If you beat A&M, you're above average. And you can go through their schedule, and I think...
At least beat Auburn at home this year.
That would have been nice.
Auburn's good, and a stout defense. But if you're going to be mighty Texas A&M and mighty Jimbo Fisher, you need to beat somebody once in a while. Their wins, UTSA, Lamar, the Mississippi State's now the quality win, Ole Miss.
They were all out against Arkansas, too.
Arkansas, there you go. and whatever the other non-conference win, Northwestern State or someone like that.
But same boat for Texas. Texas doesn't have a win on their schedule. I guess Kansas State.
Yeah.
I guess that's your, if that's Kansas State or Oklahoma State, those are your best wins at Texas. Now that said, in the Big 12, I don't know if they're outside of Oklahoma and LSU. I don't know if there's a team on their schedule they could have beat, and I would have gone, oh, that's a really good quality win.
But barely beating Kansas.
Yeah.
Losing to an okay Iowa State team. But again, you're supposed to be God's gift to football programs.
Thumped by TCU.
This is where Texas is, where the highlight of this decade is beating a completely under-motivated Georgia team without its two best defensive players in the Sugar Bowl last year.
I wouldn't be surprised if that winds up being the highlight of the Herman tenure at Texas.
It very well could. Tom Herman, there has to be pressure. And they win this game today. It looked early like they were going to get their doors blown off by Texas Tech. It ends up being a blowout win for Texas. But I do think that there's got to be pressure on him to get a new staff, specifically a new defensive staff.
Todd Orlando was the hot rising coordinator.
Well, he's no good.
They were lamenting, oh, we picked the wrong guy in Major Applewhite. Well, you did, but the alternative to Todd Orlando.
Well, there was a time when Texas thought Will Muschamp was going to be the future
head
of that program. So
they
don't always have the best judge of character, or at least of coach quality, when it comes to defensive coordinator. Todd Orlando seems like a good dude. The guy's got to go. They've got to do something different, because everyone says, well, wait till Herman gets his guys in there. Oh, I guess. But so far, the best guy on that team is Sam Ellinger, and that's not his guy.
Well,
where would they be without Sam Ellinger?
When has Tom Herman ever had his guys on a team?
Never.
And that's the thing. He won with Tony Levine's guys at UH. And Tony recruited very, very well. And I actually went and looked up how many of those guys went on to the NFL to play at least a little bit off of that team. There were a bunch. And that's for them to do that. Tyus Bowser was on that team, and they had two cornerbacks. And for you to have that kind of a talent at that level, then, yeah, you should win. And I think where Levine messed up, his only real... Well, he made some mistakes early in his career, but his only thing that got him fired was taking too long to get rid of John O'Korn and go to Greg Ward as his quarterback. Because once he did that, the Cougars were really good and won a lot of games. But, that's the thing. That's why I'm always suspicious of guys. I want to see them go through a whole cycle where you get their team at least 3 years, because it doesn't really take that long anymore. But he never did that.
Sumlin, Case Keenum, Johnny Manziel, and then nothing. And he's a mediocre coach who's going to produce nothing better than mediocre results and get fired at Arizona.
Well, Sumlin had he arguably just a guy just as good as those guys in Khalil Tate, mm-hmm. and didn't know how to use him for some reason. Like, he couldn't figure out what
and
to do with
hurt
him.
Hurt every other week.
But yeah, Sumlin's another. What a mess that guy is. For the sake of Texas and Texas A&M's programs, I hope they get thrown into some embarrassment bowl. I keep hearing that they're going to end up in the Academy Texas Bowl here. If that happens, I think it would be a reprieve to those guys, because the fan bases would be interested in it. They need to send Texas to the freaking Liberty Bowl and have them play Cincinnati
rainy day,
some
bummy
stadium. Yeah, and they need, like, Texas fan needs to be like, oh, this game. Texas A&M needs to end up in, I don't even know what crappy bowl they could put them in, but put them in the Music City Bowl against, Wake Forest or Pitt, and make people go, this is where we're at? This is where we're at?
Well, in the spirit of the holiday, how thankful is LSU that Herman merely used them as a stalking horse to get the Texas job?
Yeah, although, boy, this is probably unpopular opinion. Do you think Ed Orgeron's really a great head coach?
No, but he recruits the hell out of things, and now he has coordinators.
He's got great coordinators, certainly.
Into the 21st century, because, yeah, I thought, and maybe it's an unfair judge the book by the cover, Cookie Monster, crossbred with Mutombo, and he's a Louisiana guy to the core.
Oh, no doubt.
There are reasons. They're 48th or 49th in education every year. But it starts with talent, and then if you delegate to the right guys... if we want to open a can of worms, I mean, Texas, the ultimate football state. Baloney. Per capita, Louisiana is every bit as good as Texas And look at where LSU's program is versus the two flagship programs in this state. I mean, Baylor and SMU have had real good years. The rest of the state this year is garbage.
And I don't think judging Orgeron is necessarily judging a book by its cover, because we saw him as a head coach at Ole Miss, and he couldn't produce a winning season. He had three chances, three losing seasons. So I don't think it's necessarily as simple as saying, oh, well, he looks like a dummy, he talks like a dummy, he's got to be a dummy. I don't think that's the case. I don't see him as some brilliant head coach. I do think that he's got really great coordinators around him. And there is something
CEO
to that.
CEO motivator guy.
There is absolutely something to that. But
I'd honestly rather have that in a head coach.
And
Mac Brown did pretty well.
Mac Brown did brilliant doing that same thing. Because, yeah, Mac Brown wasn't, he didn't have some magical playbook. And as much as people hated Greg Davis, Greg Davis won a lot of games and put up a lot of yards as the OC with that Texas team. And they went out every year that they needed a defensive coordinator. They went out and got the best one money could buy, whether it was Muschamp or Gene Chizik. And they kept that train rolling. And Ed Orgeron has decided, you know what? If I'm not the best coach, I'm going to surround myself with the best. A lot of these guys, the ego of these guys, some of these. And Tom Herman may absolutely be one of those guys that doesn't want to surround himself with people smarter than him. And that could absolutely be a downfall.
So, congratulations to the Longhorns for avoiding a 500 season. The Aggies lose at LSU. We could get that 7-5 Texas Bowl. Do you think the fact that they'd be playing for the first time in a decade or whatever, would it just overpower the fact that alums should say, we're embarrassed. We're supposed to meet next in a national semifinal.
That's what I'm saying. People will forget it.
And here we are playing, and they do a nice job and all the events attached to it, but it's a C-list bowl game.
Yeah. They won't care because they're playing each other. Both fan bases will be excited because they're playing each other.
At least they're large enough fan bases that enough will care to fill the stadium. And
especially because it's here. You know, if you pair those two teams in the Outback Bowl, or I mean, they wouldn't even play in that, but the Chick-fil-A Bowl, whatever crappy, you know, motor or tire bowl, whatever the hell. I don't even know what they are now. But nobody's driving cross country to go see 2-7-5 teams are played, or flying across country for that matter. But here in Houston, oh yeah, they'll fill that place up. That'd be the dream matchup, I would assume, for that bowl.
Oh yeah, for them it'd be awesome.
I
think they'd be happy with either team, but if they could get both.
Because even though they're two crappy football teams, they're two top notch football programs from a money perspective.
Right.
So, and the fact that it's here, that'd be the perfect
storm. Either one on its own would sell the game out.
Certainly.
But you get them both, then I think, you know, it would be a boon for the bowl. But I also, I kind of, to Charlie's point, I wonder how many fans are going to look at that and go, oh, well, this is great. We finally get to play Texas. We finally get to play A&M, as opposed to, man, we're paying this guy this much money to go 7-5. And is that really good enough? But
Bob Stoops won a national championship at Oklahoma his second year, right?
Brown's
third year at Texas, I think, was the first of 10 straight years finishing in the top 13 in the country. Tom Herman has a little catching up to do.
Oh, no doubt.
Jimbo Fisher as well.
Hey, he's done better than his predecessor, though.
But by grossly overpaying, it's like you think you can literally buy credibility and results.
Everyone knows.
Every time a coach has one decent year, let's give him a contract extension. Scott Frost didn't even have that. He had 5 years left on his deal. Nebraska gave him two more years. I don't get it.
Everyone knows the standard at Texas is be better than Charlie Strong. If you can do that, you're in good shape.
Yeah, well, so far, so good then.
Yeah.
I think we're looking at this the wrong way. I mean, he's better than Charlie Strong.
That's right.
This is where I do another one of the commercial announcements.
I think so.
It is.
Look at you. It's like you went to Syracuse or something.
Well, I just know that sticking to the clock. I'm trying to follow the Blitz tradition on this. Marshall Stevenson Elevator. Really a Houston pioneer in this field. They've been at it going on 50 years now, three generations of the family business. In the end, though, what can they do for you? If you are in a townhome, it's a natural 3-4 stories. No more taking the groceries up to the top or the kids up and down or even pets, as someone suggested to me. Marshall Stevenson does everything soup to nuts, sales, installation, any service need ever. They're the number one retailer, period, of made-in-America Inclinator elevators. And they do great work, right? Their name is on the business. They take pride in what they do and what they have done for all these decades. If you're at all curious, you can start on their website or you can visit their showroom, the only one in town with an actual working elevator. As you can say, you can test ride it or test drive it. Styles from basic to luxurious. They've never been more affordably energy efficient, never more quiet than they are now. And if you're thinking, well, this is just a luxury item, it can be if you want the very top of the line. But they can work within most budgets, and they'll work with you directly as the homeowner, also with remodelers, and of course they work with home builders for installation. To start, you can find them online, or you can call them. Visit their showroom during the week, 713-961-1940 for any more information or to make an appointment. 713-961-1940. Find them online searching Marshall Stevenson Elevator, the best at what they do in Houston, and work in. You heard it on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. College football going on at the moment. Memphis up 27-17 on Cincinnati, who just got a big play to get close to the red zone.
I wish they just hurry up and lose by 5.5 or points or more and just move on.
And Boise up on Colorado State 31-21. That one was actually close for a bit, but now Boise's up 10. And Washington beating Washington State 28-13. TCU up 17-10 on West Virginia. So there, you're all caught up now.
Somebody parlayed with this game?
Yeah, I teased this game down 6 points, and then there goes that.
And there's a touchdown.
Son of a.
If I'm the American Conference, I'm doing everything I can to make sure Memphis wins this game because I don't know that. Otherwise, next week, you got to make sure Cincinnati wins if they win it both, because otherwise, you're not going to get that New Year's Six game.
Yeah, I have this game teased 6 points with the Huskies.
Navy U of H tomorrow night. Speaking of Texas head football coaches doing lousy jobs this year.
Well, yeah. None of them did worse than our boy up in Arkansas. I mean, that's the high school, as far as high school football coaches from Texas going to take big jobs, I think Chad Morris may be the king of failures in that situation.
But he'll be paid for the foreseeable future.
Oh, yeah, he's rich. He's relaxing.
That's a tough job, though. Right?
They've got more money than damn near anybody. They got Walmart money behind them.
Oh, well, good point.
I mean, that is a very well-funded football program.
But I don't think they can recruit Texas the way they could when they were in the Southwest Conference and the Division
I thought the SEC is the SEC.
It is, but I don't think to Texas kids thinking, I'm going to go play for Texas A&M or Alabama or LSU. Well, let me go to Arkansas.
Yeah. Yeah, they're in a bad spot. They're one of those teams that, you know, sometimes when you, I know they've had some success since they went to the SEC, and that was a long time ago. That was before the big exodus, but they were just never going to be a consistently competitive team, yeah. Especially in that division.
You stumble into the right quarterback, or you have 17 senior starters one year.
I think some of these teams have moved conferences.
Under Mike DuBose and whichever Shula was there, you know, it can come and go. And
yeah, there's
when,
waves,
when it
certainly.
Goes, you can be LSU between
Jerry DiNardo years.
Mike Archer and long time until Saban got there where they didn't really matter. I mean, pre-Mac Brown, Texas went 15 years without a top 10 finish. The entire, at the time, Pac-10 had a top 10 finish in that stretch. Tulane, Marshall, Northwestern, Syracuse, I mean, all kinds of come-on programs. And Texas was in the wilderness for 15 years. Now it's about, what, 8 and counting. I thought Herman was going to kill it there. And the recruiting services say he has, right?
Yeah.
He must really be a terrible coach.
Yeah, it could be. I don't believe much in those recruiting numbers.
Yeah, and I've always found that you can get all the 5 stars in the world, but if you're not coaching them up, it doesn't really matter.
It always makes me wonder, do some of these teams, and like A&M, I don't think they regret moving to the SEC because they made a lot of money.
Yeah, not the first and the 15th.
But, no. I mean, their program could be legitimately competitive in the Big 12 if they were still in the Big 12. Do you agree?
Sure.
Nebraska, I think.
They're not god-awful in the SEC. They're just
terminally
mediocre.
But they would be competitive in the Big 12. Nebraska moving to the Big Ten, I think, at least from a football success standpoint, was the worst thing they could have done. And I know they had I think that was like Marcellus Wallace would say, that's pride effing with you.
Yeah.
Nebraska thinks they're a bigger football
they're
program than they are.
Arkansas of the Big Ten, just with better academics.
They think that they are a big-time football program still, and I just don't think they are.
Over a period of time, they cannot out-recruit Michigan, Ohio State, or Penn State.
There's a handful of schools. Really, there's a handful of schools above the Mason-Dixon line that can recruit top tier talent, and unfortunately for Nebraska, they ain't one of them anymore. I mean, they had their run in the 90s, but
light years behind Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah. I think now most of the top tier athletes, they're staying on the West Coast, they're staying down south, or they're going to Ohio State, Michigan, or Notre Dame. I mean, and then everybody else is fighting for scraps.
Penn State.
Yeah.
Yeah, I. This kind of maybe goes, you know, to bring it back to Texas. I think it's telling that Texas has struggled as much as it has when those teams are gone now. They're not having to face Nebraska and A&M, and well, Colorado was never really that much of a threat. No. But with those teams gone, and Texas was dominant when they were there, and now that they're not, I think it goes to – it says a lot about where the program is.
It's Oklahoma and the Nine Dwarves, or little people.
That's really what it's been. They let Baylor turn. I mean,
TCU will have a breakout year here. Baylor's had a wonderful season.
Baylor turned themselves into a program, then damn near got the death penalty, and they're already better than Texas. I mean, that's a shame on Texas. Those guys, they should be embarrassed with what they've got going there.
Boy, they did such a nice job hiring Matt Rhule. That was such a good
brilliant hire. I told you guys during the break what Sam Ehlinger said after the game, which he's so unaware. If this is really, this is less aware than saying Texas is back. Rome wasn't built in a day. If you had told Texas fans 3 years ago that we would have 7 wins and headed to a bowl game and had a chance to win 8, I think people would be pretty happy. Overall, we did a great job. Hook 'em. Are you kidding me, dude? Like, are you completely unaware of what people think of Texas football? Nobody who gives money to that program, nobody who buys season tickets, hell, nobody who buys T-shirts at Walmart expects Texas to go 7-5 and maybe have a chance to win 8 when they go play in the Independence Bowl.
I mean, that to me is even below what your floor is supposed to be.
It really is.
With all due respect to Sam Ehlinger. But, you know, and how do we know Rome wasn't built in a day? I mean,
I wasn't around for that.
Ancient astronaut theorists suggest that maybe it was aliens who came and did it, and maybe they did it in a day.
Well, what year did Urban Meyer win his championship at Ohio State? And I mentioned Stoops earlier. What year is this in full for Ed Orgeron? How long till Nick Saban turned Alabama into an empire? No longer than 3 years.
Well, and we've talked about that a lot. How long do you give a coach? And to me, it takes 3 years.
I'm with you. One full recruiting cycle before, unless the guy's cheating or just completely, indisputably overmatched.
And I will say, when you look at Tom Herman's overall 24-15, it's not awful through 3 years.
It's an 8-5 average.
It's not good enough. And it's certainly when you go 10-4 and then you regress back to 7-5. That's not good enough.
Got him a 2-year guaranteed extension.
Yep.
$6.5 million per year just doesn't buy a head coach what it used to.
Nope.
Did you want to see progress being made? And I don't think you could look at that team this year and say, oh, they made progress.
No, they went backwards.
Yeah. And to me, you should be back at 10 wins next year. If you're not, then I think you got to take a hard look at where you are as a program, because they shouldn't be, honestly, they should only be worried about Oklahoma. There should be nobody else in that conference. Now, every now and then, Oklahoma State should jump up and beat you. Iowa State can jump up and beat you. TCU can jump up and beat you. But they can't have Iowa State and TCU and Baylor all beating you in the same season. It just, you know, that's not supposed to happen there.
Well, and not only that, you know, whatever you think of them right now, they're two best, outside of Ehlinger, they're two best threats on offense, Colin Johnson and Devin Duvernay, they're both graduated. They're gone. So we're going to see what Tom Herman's been recruiting, how well he can coach these guys up, because he's running out of Charlie Strong's guys.
All right. Well, I'm sure you'll be able to bet an over-under on wins for him next year, and we'll figure out what that number is. But I have to tell you about MyBookie, and this is the place to get in on all the action. This is what I played on yesterday. they had a great thing where you could go and bet on the Bears game, and it was a no-risk bet. If you lost, you got your money back. Fortunately, I was on Bears minus 3.5. And there's all kinds of games this weekend, and there's a bunch going on today, going on tonight. So college football, you got the NFL this weekend. You want to bet AJ's college basketball plays. You want to get in on the hockey bets that I'm throwing out there. All available at mybookie.ag. And if you sign up now, they're going to double your first deposit up to $1,000 if you use promo code radio to get that exclusive offer. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio. The other good news is when you win, they actually pay you. A lot of these websites I've had all kinds of issues with. That's not the deal with MyBookie. You win, you get paid. Nobody pays out faster. You get your cash when you want it. And they've got in-game. So if you miss the start of the game, you still want to get down, all kinds of in-game wagering for you available on tons of events. Promo code radio to get that exclusive double your money offer. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. Play, win, get paid. MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
From
this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Space Ghost on the Twitch wants to know, Sam got hit in the head before he said that.
Well, maybe he did.
I'd like to know, I'd like to honestly hear from any UT fan who buys into what he just said. Because I don't think
you're not going to find one.
No. I mean, unless it's his family.
Maybe.
And they're just trying to defend him. But, yeah, that's not good. We were talking about a little bit about these coaches and... You know what's interesting to me is a school like Iowa. I mean, they're going to be 9-3 every year, and they love Kurt Ferentz there. He's never going to win anything more than that.
They're okay with that.
Yeah,
that's the standard at Iowa.
He's longer tenured in D1 now than Ferentz. What has he been there, 20 years?
He's got to be up there now that Virginia Tech's changed over theirs. I can't think of anyone.
Yeah. I'd have to look it up, but I can't imagine anybody being there longer than that.
Yeah.
And they accept their lot in life that, well, we're Iowa. We're not supposed to win the Big Ten every other year, play in the Big Ten championship game every year. So if we're never bad and then you pop out that 9-3 year, maybe the occasional 10-win season, he's been making a lot of money for a long time, yeah. Kirk Ferentz.
How long has Gary Patterson been at TCU?
Oh, yeah, that might be the one. Patterson's been there for, well, since Francione left.
Yeah, I think you're going back to like 2000.
Yeah.
But I think that's around when Kirk Ferentz went to Iowa. So they're probably close. My guess is that's 1-2. I can't think of anyone else that's
another
even...
Big Ten program. Nebraska is nowhere close to right now. Iowa.
No.
And I guess...
Behind Minnesota now. until Fleck leaves anyway.
Yeah, his name I've seen in the Florida State job hunt, which... I've also seen James Franklin there. Why would Franklin leave Penn State for Florida State?
There's no way.
I mean,
unless you hate the cold.
Well, there's that. But I mean, one of the reasons why Fisher left was the facilities weren't what he wanted, and I'm pretty sure they.
Well, that program doesn't have any money to upgrade their facilities. That's the problem. Florida State's not like flush with cash like all these. That's why I don't think. They're looking to pay somebody a lot of money. I think they went after Bob Stoops, and when Bob Stoops said his number,
yeah.
Florida State was like, I don't think that's going to work out. I think that they don't have the money to invest into their program.
Maybe they come up with $20 million, all private donors and so forth. But for Willie Taggart, mediocre season at Oregon. Oof. He got that job, and they had to pay him off.
Yep.
It's just one decent season, the money you can get as a coach, where you haven't proven you can really build anything, keep it going. I think if you're Franklin, doesn't look like Ohio State's going to slip much in the post-Urban Meyer era. Jerry Jones going to make a run at Dabo Swinney? Urban Meyer going to throw his hat in that ring? Florida State job gets a lot better if Swinney leaves Clemson.
Oh, certainly, yeah. Because in the ACC is a wasteland.
See Virginia beating Virginia Tech today?
Yeah.
Is it parity, P-A-R-I-T-Y, or parity,
P-A-R-O-D-Y?
7 years in that Coastal Division, each program has now won the championship once. The who gets to get slaughtered by Clemson sweepstakes?
Lincoln Riley's another name that I bet Jerry looks at.
Oh, I think that's probably his top choice. But I don't think – I think I say this all the time. I really believe it. I think now with the money that's being thrown at these college head coaches, being a coach at a top-tier college program is better than being an NFL head coach.
If you have a taste for the recruiting or you're a turnkey operation where it's just easy, was the old Bobby Bowden line, we select, we don't recruit.
Right.
And those pesky NCAA rules, but you are an emperor.
Yeah.
When you pick your own players. Like
I mean, with the exception of Belichick, well, and I guess in Bill O'Brien, nobody has that power over the entire organization. So that these top-tier college coaches do.
And I remember Pete Carroll saying when he was at USC, it's like, I get 8 first-round picks every year.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You are the GM in addition to being the head coach. So there is an advantage to it. I just think some guys want that challenge. They want to go prove that they can do it at that level. And, you know, Nick Saban tried it, didn't work out. I'm sure it's always in the back of his mind that's the one thing he failed at.
Oh, yeah, certainly. You know, but I think I don't think he loses too much sleep over it.
Yeah, I don't think he loses sleep over anything.
So if Urban Meyer throws his hat at, whether it's USC or to test himself at the highest level of sport, would you hand him the keys?
Yes.
$8 million per year? Would you believe that he'd totally buy in or he'd start missing his family?
Certainly for a college job, I believe. I think Urban Meyer...
Because I think he's the best of this generation, at least on the same line with Saban, who Michigan State had, I think, 110-win season, and obviously LSU and now Alabama. But, I mean, Urban Meyer turned Bowling Green really good in no time, had an undefeated season at Utah. Now his methods, and we'll take any criminal anywhere, Florida, but then Ohio State in no time. When you can – people knock Phil Jackson in the NBA. Well, you won because you had Jordan and Pippen, and then you won because you had Shaq and Kobe. Well, that is how you win at the highest level,
by
having great, great players. But Rick Pitino, college and pro, went to different places except for the Celtics. When you can do it over and over, and that's why Urban Meyer, to me, he is just awesome. He's still only in his mid-50s, so if he passes your physical and you believe that he'd pour himself into it, college or pro, he'd be damn near the top of my list.
Yeah, I don't know if I want him as much in the pros. I think he loses some value because one of the great things about Urban Meyer is his ability to get these top-level kids. But certainly at USC... I mean, Clay Helton, listen, I know the players like him. That job is too much for Clay Helton. It was too much too soon. He had no business getting that job. And Urban Meyer could turn USC into a juggernaut. I have no doubts about that because he turns everyone into a winner. He turned Utah into a freaking Power 5 school. I think that you give him a job like that, that's a team that's going to compete every year. I think if he were to go to some place... I don't know, if he were to go to TCU or something, I don't know. I think that there's a ceiling on some places. USC is one of those places that if they've got the right coach, there's no ceiling on what they can do.
I don't think there's a ceiling on Urban Meyer at all. I think that's the one guy who could go anywhere and win and build that kind of program. And what we always talk about successful college coaches. Sometimes you can be a great coach, you're not a right fit for a certain school. And Urban Meyer, to me, would be a fit anywhere college-wise. Now, pros... Depends on who he's going to bring in.
There's the unknown, where 95% of the time you're not going to have the way better talent on the field. Whereas when you have that empire going at the college level, USC's recruiting's fallen off a cliff. I think I saw a note, not one of the top 20 players in California is committed to USC.
Because nobody knows who the hell Clay Helton is. He's never won anything.
But by accident, they should be able to fall into a few. It's not like Chip Kelly's getting him a UCLA.
No.
Kirk Ferentz is the longest tenured head coach in Division I.
Say when he got the gig?
99 or 2000 is my guess.
Yeah, it was in the 90s. So I'm.
It's a long time.
It is a long time. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. But I mean, you got that kind of money, you can live like a king in Iowa City.
Patterson was 2000.
Okay.
So, and somebody had mentioned.
Frank Solich has got to be there for a while at Ohio, right?
I don't think it's as.
Not like that long.
2005. But I guess 10 to 15.
Yeah, 2005. Okay.
That's a good run.
So.
All right. You know what else is good? Carbach. Carbach's good. Your family's at your house right now, and you're driving around. You're about to go home to your family. You know that you need beer before you get there. Otherwise, your night's going to be miserable. Stop off at your local Specs or HEB or Watering Hole, whatever, and get yourself some Carbach to get you through this holiday season. Guys, if you haven't been out to the restaurant, it is out of this world. They do brunch on Saturdays and Sundays, so... You want to get it? Here's what you can do. Tell the lady, I'm taking you out for brunch, honey. Ladies love brunch. But here's the secret. You're really taking her to a brewery. So this is a very selfish thing you're doing that doesn't look selfish. And that's what every man in the world is looking for. Something selfish that doesn't look selfish. Get some of the great food there, some of the great beer. Some of that beer you can only find at Carbach. It's a fantastic place. Check them out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. See what's going on at the brewery, what's going on at the restaurant, what's going on at the concert series. And when you're out and about, ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And I've got a little question for you guys, because we were talking about the longest tenured coaches.
All right, well, make it good, because this is our last segment with Charlie. Don't blow it.
I'm not going to blow it. That's why we're not doing Gym of the Day right now.
We're working with a Radio Hall of Famer.
I know that.
No, you're not.
First ballot Radio Hall of Famer.
Future Radio Hall of Famer.
Okay, so Kirk Ferentz, longest tenured. Gary Patterson, second by 1 year. There are three coaches that came in 2005. You mentioned Frank Solich and Kyle Whittingham. Can you name the other coach?
Ooh.
It's been there since 2005.
Power Five?
Yes.
Frank Solich, Kyle Whittingham. Oh, is that guy from Navy? Ken whatever? Mullet. Gundy.
Yes, it is Mike Gundy, 2005. And
nicely done.
I would not have thought that. That's why I brought it up. Because,
yeah.
Because he's now a man of 50 plus.
How long's Pat Fitzgerald been there?
2006, so he was a year off that.
And what about D'Antonio?
2007, same as Navy, same as Troy Calhoun.
He won't be getting to.
No, he's not going to make it that much longer.
Nick Saban also 2007. There was one other guy in 2006 that I won't waste your time trying to make you guess, but it's a guy at Middle Tennessee State.
Rick Stockstill.
Yeah, yeah.
What about, we can play what about all day. I was going to ask about Bobby Wilder at Old Dominion. I know he's been there for a long-ass time.
I'll have to find him. It's not as long as you think.
Okay.
Well, his first years would have been in FCS.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you're FBS. Right. You're right.
So there you go. Just
hey, everyone can join D1. And there's your put-away turnover.
Memphis 34-24, and looks like they're going to get through and have a rematch next week.
All right. Can't wait for that one.
Remember the Friday after Thanksgiving, LSU Arkansas would play this fantastic game almost every year, but going back earlier, not so far back that you won't remember, it's better part of a decade. Nebraska and Colorado.
Yeah.
Friday afternoon after Thanksgiving, we're playing for something huge every year.
Yeah, that was one of the rivalry games that got lost in the breakup of the Big 12. That it seems like neither program really cared to continue, I guess.
And now neither program is anything but lost either.
Yeah,
and that, I mean, basically doesn't matter in the Pac-12, and Nebraska does not matter at all in the Big 14-10.
Well, for the longest time, Thanksgiving Day was Texas versus Texas A&M.
Yeah,
and you know, I still don't understand why they can't. From a financial standpoint, it's got to make sense for both programs to do that game. It's got to. I can't imagine it doesn't.
They have games booked out now to 2030, 2031.
It's pride. It's ego.
Why at this point, though? And the thing is, by the time they could play, whatever tradition was there is going to be gone. You're going to lose a whole generation of people who grew up watching that. And I mean, that's the thing. Nobody remembers what Oklahoma, Nebraska used to be. That's been gone for so long now. I think, you know, and I get things change, and I'm cool with that. But,
you know, but not always for the better.
No, I don't think it's better that those teams don't play anymore, because yeah. And you know, Oklahoma State plays this weekend every year, and they've turned Bedlam into a big deal. But you know, that's Oklahoma has more than one rival, kind of like Texas does. But it used to be more fun, and I think at times. I kind of wish, while I like the playoff, I kind of miss when you had three or four bowl games that actually meant something and it was going to come down to a vote based on how they did. And sometimes you'd wind up with more than one champ, but so what?
Yeah.
It was kind of fun. And you know, I'm always about settle it on the field, But and we've talked about the playoffs a lot. There's no guarantee we're going to get the four best teams. We're going to get the four best teams with the best names on their jersey. But we'll see. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And
anyone else hoping Auburn beats Alabama tomorrow?
I'm somewhat expecting it.
That they'll D up against the backup quarterback? Can they eke out enough points to win?
My power ratings have that game almost a pick. It's like a 1 point difference, and at least at Auburn, it wouldn't shock me if they win that game. Because I don't know what Alabama is right now. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they'd like to go out and get style points, but this is the first real team that this Jones kid has seen.
Yeah, I don't think against Auburn's defense they're going to be, unless they win 27-0.
And he's right. Not, he's not a
vintage Alabama defense.
He's not like a 5-star recruit. This kid, he was like the number 27 pocket passer in the country when he came out. I'm sure he's good, but I don't think he's good enough to just be like, okay, well, I played Arkansas and West Carolina. I'm ready for actual big boy football now. And I don't believe in this Alabama defense. I don't think they're a very good defense. The one thing they've got going for them is that they've got ridiculous talent on the outside offensively. They've got probably the best four-man receiving core that I've ever seen in college football. So if you can say, well, just chuck it up and see what happens, then maybe Mac Jones has something. But I think Auburn can play with him for sure.
I have nothing against Alabama, but your quarterback is out. You're not winning your division. You're not obviously winning your conference. I would rather see Utah, if it wins the Pac-12, bad that Oregon lost last week to enhance that victory chances for Utah. But I'd rather see a 12-1 Utah, and if they lose 57-3 to number one, so be it. I think they'd have the better. Who's Alabama beaten this year? Nobody.
Their best win would be Auburn.
Right.
A four-loss Auburn team.
Because, and Alabama doesn't do this every year, but it did it this year. It chose to play zero non-conference. The signature non-conference game was Duke.
Yeah.
In the opener. They usually play USC. Not that USC's always been a heavyweight opponent, but they usually play one of those kickoff classic type games against somebody. This year, Duke, and they played New Mexico State and some other come on program.
I've been team Utah for the last few weeks. I'm curious, you think you like Utah more than Oklahoma if Oklahoma runs the table?
Well, Utah's ahead of Oklahoma now. And so if Oklahoma beats Baylor again, I do think that Oklahoma could be primed to leap Utah because Oregon dropped in the rankings after blowing that game last week. I do like to see a different face every once in a while, not thrown a bone, but where the benefit of the doubt might go to that team when it has at least an equal resume.
You don't want to see Alabama, Ohio State, and Oklahoma and Clemson every year, the same four teams every year.
Exactly. Just to see somebody different. I wasn't outraged when Notre Dame got in last year. And then Notre Dame got worked. Well, then Alabama got worked by Clemson.
Yeah. Washington made it a couple years ago.
And yeah. Michigan State dropped into 1 year.
Yeah, I hope AJ is right about Auburn, Alabama, because I don't want to see Alabama again. And I think they're going to find a way to get him in there. But, we'll see. I don't think you are. I think Alabama is actually going to win the game fairly convincingly.
You know what would make for real drama? That I would be all for. I don't think it's going to happen, but I would really be for it. Is if A&M somehow beat LSU tomorrow, and that SEC championship became a play-in? Oh, that would do it for me. I mean, personally, yeah, but I don't care about any of these teams, but
because I think if LSU wins tomorrow, they're in regardless.
I think so too.
Conversely, right? Georgia beats LSU, then
the game only matters
to
Georgia. Yeah. But if LSU somehow loses tomorrow. Oh, boy, that SEC championship game is suddenly the biggest game of the year.
Is there anything that you've seen out of A&M that convinced
nothing.
You?
Nothing. Nothing. But what I'll also say is I don't trust LSU's defense as far as I can throw them. They let Vanderbilt score 34 points on them. And if that can happen, who knows? Crazier things have happened, although it being in Baton Rouge makes it seem really, really unlikely. But the last thing I want to do is hear A&M fan beating their chest about beating LSU 2 years in a row, and suddenly we're like a big time football program again. But it would make for a really interesting championship weekend if that were to happen. It would suck for Utah.
Yeah, I think.
Although I guess maybe they could still get in because if that happened, then the winner of the SEC championship game was going to be in anyway. because we assumed LSU would be in anyway. So that fourth spot would still be open. But, yeah, but it would make for some real drama.
I think it's going to play out pretty lame.
Pretty chalky.
Yeah, I think in the end it's going to wind up being LSU's going to win tomorrow. And it'll be LSU. LSU probably will lose to Georgia in a really close game, and it's going to be LSU, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State.
That wouldn't shock me. I do think Georgia will give problems to LSU because it's a real defense. And again, I don't know who. I don't think much of Georgia's offense, but I've seen worse offenses in Georgia's rack up numbers against LSU.
Trey's gesturing wildly. I think it's time for you guys to take the break.
All right.
So
well,
I'm going to go hit my leftovers and appreciate your letting me. Well, sit in and
Charlie, we enjoyed
business
it.
Wheels yeah. turning for the day. Yeah,
this was fun. We appreciate you coming in. Have to do it again sometime.
I'm around.
What do you think about
the rest of the weekend?
What do you think about a double date with me and my wife and you and your significant other?
Well, that would be viable. I was kind of waiting for the attempts at sex talk, which you know were doomed to failure.
So I knew. I knew as soon as you.
I figured
early on. I played my audience. I know what's happening. I listened to the way you talked about it, and you didn't want to get into it.
You live in South Dallas, though, don't you?
I do. But I get into the city.
It would have to be your road trip.
Okay, I'd be willing to do that. Do you think I would get any further with your significant other asking her about your sex life?
If giving more than 100% were possible, that we're going to give 110%. No, you can't. You can't give more than everything. If you could get less than zero, you could get less than zero.
All right. She's as tight-lipped as you, I see. All right.
That's probably why they're a good match.
I guess so.
There you go.
Thanks again, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you, Charlie.
All right. Got to tell you about Lions Poker Palace. And, guys, there's tournaments tonight. There's tournaments all weekend. Right now, you can still get in for their No Limit Hold'em tournament at 6:30. A $10,000 guarantee. How about that? There's a PLO at 7, $10,000 guarantee. First 80 cash players before 11:55 play free all day. So if you get in tomorrow before 11:55 a.m., you play for free. And if you don't, it's only $10 an hour. It is the best deal in the city and, in my opinion, the best place in the city.
Yeah, it is a beautiful room. Fred and I, we go to Vegas all the time, and we play in a lot of different poker rooms. And none of them hold up. None of them can be. None of them are certainly better than Lions Poker Palace. There's some that are close. None that I say are certainly better. This is a great room. Great food. Televisions everywhere. Security everywhere. It's really nice. Guys, go in and check it out for yourself. 6134 Richmond Avenue in Houston. It's Lions Poker Palace.
She's the giggle at a funeral. Knows everybody's disapproval. I should have worshipped her.
Well, hello! To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.